Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Austin on the Air podcast. Today, we have a really interesting show ahead of you. I have with me today Tom Kenny and Brad Zerbe. Did I pronounce that right, Brad?
Perfect. You got it. Okay. It's a Scandinavian name. Yeah.
Okay. And they are from Grant Management Associates. And why don't you guys just give a little brief bit about yourselves and Grant Management Associates, and we can dive in. We're going to talk a lot today about clean air funding that's available.
Sure. My name is Brad Zerbe. I wrote my first grant in 1985 for animal rescue, of all things. And I've been doing grants a long time. Grant Management Associates is one of the premier grant houses in the U.S. Our founder and CEO, she's a former engineering professor, 17 years at Chico State. She actually ran the grant programs for 7 years there, end to end, for five of the colleges. So she's at the absolute pinnacle of the industry, and we're part of her executive team, Tom and I. And Tom is our head of our grant research department, and I do business development and write grants. In fact, I just won a $37.8 million grant for Berkshire Hathaway.
Nice.
Warren Buffett's company. My grandparents are actually neighbors of his, or were. They're no longer with us, but I'm from Omaha originally, and we know the family. So, and I own the stock too. So,
congratulations. Good news.
Thank you both for being here.
And maybe we could just dive right into, you know, kind of what I wanted to talk about today. First of all, the Inflation Reduction Act. This thing, we were kind of talking before the show started about how monstrous it is. It seems like there's everything in this except a kitchen sink, right? So maybe to start for our listeners, if you want to give just a little bit of information on the, I guess, umbrella that is the Inflation Reduction Act. And then maybe we could dive in after that on a couple of the programs that have some funding available for clean air for folks who are interested.
Sure, Tom, you want to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act? You're the research guy.
Yeah, for sure. The Inflation Reduction Act is pretty huge. So it's $500 billion in new spending and tax breaks. So it's kind of spread out among existing programs, and then it creates some new programs, which is really great. But the neat thing is that with the clean energy piece of it and, you know, air quality and things like that, there were some existing programs that it increases funding for. So the nice thing is we can look at how those programs have been structured in the past and then look for the new pieces added, or if it's just new funding added to it, we kind of know what's been going on in those spaces. So that's really nice. And then with the new programs, it's really exciting because there are these new opportunities to get this funding to do, you know, innovative work and new work to have some pretty big impacts on communities. So a lot of different agencies are getting funds. So like EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, DOE, Department of Energy, and a bunch of others are getting quite a bit of funding. And then, you know, the tax break side of things, there's already some pretty significant tax credits for setting up new clean energy initiatives and things like that, getting manufacturing to be more domestic and things like that. So it's pretty comprehensive. There's also some healthcare side of it with, you know, I think there's some additions to like Medicare and things like that. So Okay. Yeah, definitely a big, big piece of legislation that has gone through here, $500 billion. Yeah. And so one more quick thing is it funds a lot of these programs through 2026. So we're almost halfway through, I guess, with the new funding. So Okay. Lot to look for.
Yes, it's monstrous. It's a lot, yeah. A lot that's in it for sure. Yeah. I guess I kind of wanted to transition then, you know, there's a couple, obviously Austin Air being in, you know, so invested in air quality. I wanted to talk a lot about, you know, what those programs are, you know, if there's people that are looking to, you know, improve their indoor air quality, how can they utilize funds to do that? And from what I've seen, there's a couple programs within the Inflation Reduction Act, that might help people do just that. One is the Air Pollution at Schools program, and then the Green and Resilient Retrofit program. Maybe we could start with the Air Pollution at Schools program. Could you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, we've seen so much lately, you know, since the onset of the pandemic, especially, that there's, you know, funding and funding and funding available to improve ventilation, improve air quality within schools. Is this along those same lines, or are these specifically for a specific population? Maybe just kind of walk us through that if you could.
Sure. There's actually 9 elements to this legislation. I used to work in the Senate and the House. I actually pulled the legislation on it. And to talk specifically about the schools, it's, if you want to know, it's Section 60106. And the funding amount is $50 million. It's split into 2 categories. One's $12.5 million. It's actually dedicated to providing technical assistance for schools. And then the rest of it are grants to monitor schools, to reduce air pollution. And I've written a lot of grants for a long time. Schools are eligible to apply, but if you read between the lines, the real applicants should be pollution air control districts. Every state has one. I grew up in California. There's one in every county in my state. I live in Arizona now. There's 3 counties where there's a lot of city people in Arizona that also have air pollution control districts, where they probably have issues with meeting the standards. So they are the likely applicants. I actually ran the state of Arizona's education technology program and dealt a lot with this stuff. And I also worked at ASU's education technology think tank. So I worked with companies like yours that were trying to do things for schools in this arena. And if I was a school official, I've worked with a lot of them, I would go hunt down your local air pollution control district person and also your state official. You may have at least the state official. It may not be a local one, depending if where you are. But you've got to be a disadvantaged school. And Tom, you might give out the email or link to where they have to look. But if it's a non-starter, if you're not disadvantaged, there's a new map out. Tom, you might talk about that Justice 40 initiative and how that works.
Yeah, is this part of the Justice 40 initiative? And
it is. And most schools know if they're disadvantaged or not, but there's different maps for disadvantaged. California's got some of its own. So, Tom, why don't you just talk about that? Because step one is, you know, do you qualify? Most school officials will know if they do, but this is a new map and it overlaps a lot of the other maps. But, Tom, any thoughts on Justice 40?
Yeah. Justice 40 is a new initiative to flow 40% of most clean energy and other funds into disadvantaged communities or communities that have been historically burdened by pollution. So they're really targeting those communities for new funds so that those folks can, you know, see a lot of the benefits of the funding that's coming through. So we're really kind of spreading things out more. You know, it also talks about creating new jobs, workforce development, things like that, diversity, equity, inclusion, all those great things. So, yeah, the Justice 40 map, we can definitely send the link over and maybe have it available.
Yeah, for sure.
The episode,
we can put that in the show notes for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So that's pretty much lower income, right? I mean, is it strictly goes by income, or is it?
That's got to be part of it. There's other stuff, some pollution involved in it. It's called environmental justice, but yeah, that's okay. The E-rate program. I ran the state's E-rate program. And if you're a 90% or 80% school, school officials will know what those words mean. Mm-hmm. You're probably in, but anyway, check. So if I was a school official, the way I'd war game this is this testing equipment can get into your school probably via this grant, probably via these air pollution control districts. So if you don't have it in there, get it in there. And you work with a school board, no doubt, that's elected. So I just had my water tested up here, well water up on my ranch. And my girlfriend's a doctor. And guess what the test showed? So I just spent $7,000 on a new water system for her. So you get some bad results back, and they detect things down to the micron level. Now you can go to the board or the superintendent can and say, hey, we got a problem here and let's get it fixed. And you can justify some of the spending. So you know that game better than me.
So do you think that it's, you have to go through that kind of pipeline. You have to do the testing first in order, like if there's somebody who maybe already knows, hey, we've got air pollution problems. Our indoor air quality is not good in this school. We need to get, you know, Austin air purifiers ASAP. Do they have to go through the testing first to show that, or do they just,
no, is it qualified? I don't think so. You can, I'm sure there's all kinds of tests out there, and you know, mold, is it allergies is part of it. And one of the big things is animals. You know, I'm allergic to cats, but you know, just having something like Austin Air's, your product is really special. It meets some unbelievably high standards. So you know,
so one of the things this could,
Yeah. When I worked with the school lunch program, E-Rate, I mean, one of the scholars I work with, Angel, she was an amazing woman. She was an educational psychologist, world-class. She said, you know, if kids are hungry, they ain't going to learn. And, you know, if kids are sneezing and got water in their eyes or choking on mold and molds everywhere, you're not going to do well. So I don't think you have to go through that big grand thing, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to have it.
That's a huge, I think, point that you just made. I mean, we're talking about schools, you know, a lot of schools get their funding on attendance, right? I mean, and attendance is huge when you're talking about air quality, because a lot of these kids, whether it's asthma, chemical sensitivities, like you just mentioned, Brad, mold in the building, there's a lot of things in the air that are keeping kids home. You know, yeah, for various reasons. So just by deploying, using funding to deploy purifiers to help clean the air, you can increase absenteeism and then thereby be eligible for more funding, essentially.
Yeah, and absenteeism, I just know, having worked at this think tank, that talking to scholars, absenteeism is just a killer for education. If kids miss even a few days of school, it really is a negative thing. So absolutely, no question about it. But that's that program. And there's another program that's kind of a sister to it. They've got $300 million in funding for air pollution control districts. It's just kind of for everything in the kitchen sink. And, you know, even does tribes. If you're from a tribal school, I've won a lot of money for tribal schools. I used to live on the Navajo Nation, and my girlfriend was a doctor there. But anyway, that is another bucket of money. But all you have to do is just go to the Air Pollution Control District, have a nice conversation, get yourself on the reader map, and say, don't forget me.
Okay. And so that's how somebody would go about the first steps, obviously, after finding out if they're a disadvantaged school.
Yeah, for this grant program, yeah, that's how we'd play this one. This one's new. And the NOFO, the Notice of Funding Opportunity, comes out in December. The grant's due in the first quarter of next year. And so that's timing on it. That's why I don't have more information, because they haven't published the Notice of Funding Opportunity, which usually has some pretty good juicy details in it. And I read the legislation, and it's like most legislation, it's very bland. They leave most of it up to the agency, the EPA, to fill in the blanks.
I know that, Tom, you have to run here soon. Maybe before you go, I kind of wanted to get into the Green and Resilient Retrofit Program. I don't know if this is something you could quickly give an update on, or your thoughts on, before you have to run and Brad and I can take it home, I guess. But if you wanted to just kind of give info there.
For sure. I can start off the conversation a little bit. And I know Brad has some details on the specific programs within the Green and Resilient Retrofit Program, but
a totally separate program, obviously.
Yeah.
Completely different agency, HUD instead of EPA. Yes.
Yeah. So the cool thing about it is that through this program that HUD now has, through this funding, the multifamily housing that, you know, like public housing authorities and entities like that, they'll be able to grab some of this funding to do some retrofits and upgrade some of the facilities, some of the housing facilities. So the cool thing about it is that folks will be able to adopt, you know, different clean energy technologies, you know, air purification technologies, things like that, where normally they wouldn't be able to do some of those things. So I think that's a really cool opportunity, and there's a lot of money flowing to those housing authorities and other entities. So yeah, it's a really neat program.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds like, I mean, especially when we're talking, and this too, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of part of Justice 40. So it's obviously with HUD properties. I think it's very fitting, you know, when you talk about like with the schools, the children who are in these disadvantaged areas, you know, the statistics show that there's a higher incidence of things such as asthma and poor air quality. So I think, you know, both of these programs in tandem, you know, you're able to address the air quality in the school and then also, you know, potentially some of the places where these children might go home to.
Yeah,
I know. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, a lot of these multifamily units that qualify are older buildings and have all those issues that you're talking about. They're not in Beverly Hills and they're not brand new. So some of them even have some asbestos issues, hopefully not. But right. There's three. I own a lot of property myself. I've actually had Section 8 tenants, and I own private homes, not multifamily. But I actually used to own a bond house specialized in HUD bonds. So I know a little bit about this, but if you're owning, it's multifamily units that qualify, and it's got to be Section 8, and everybody knows what Section 8 is, but there's two more sections that qualify. It's a Section 202, which is housing for the low-income elderly, and one other, 811, which is for low-income persons with disabilities. So if you own an apartment like that, you're in the game. We can help you. Justice 40, there's four questions on the application for that. This is where people are losing grants right and left. Most people don't know how to do it. We're experts in it. This is probably the area of the grant we could help you. The rest of it, if you're a pretty sophisticated apartment owner or have a developer who knows what they're doing, you probably could do the rest yourself. We can help you with it or look it over, which we do also, and give it a quick look to make sure that there's not something missing. But there's three programs involved with this HUD thing, and I'm just going to call it small, medium, and large, and I'll run through them real quickly. But the smallest one is called Elements. It's up to $40,000 per unit, and as you guys know, with HUD, typically people that own these things rent out a certain percentage of these units at a lower rental rate than the rest of it. So the thing still pencils from a financial standpoint. This will cover every unit, not just the ones that are low income. And so they'll go up to $750,000 per property. This is just, you know, for heat pumps, some of the products you have with Austin Air, with air quality, better windows, fire resistant roofs. You know, it's sort of the small thing. The next program, Leading Edge, you actually have to make the building certified, like LEED certified. They actually have 10 different certification organizations that they use for this. You can just pick one, but everybody knows what LEED is. So let's say you want to make your building LEED Silver or something like that. They do $60,000 per unit, up to $10 million per property. Wow. And typically the way these things are done is when you do what's called a recapitalization effort, and you actually have to have a recapitalization effort in progress for the first one. The second one, you just have to be planning one. You know, that's like a refinance. You're basically taking an old building and you're fixing it up and you're doing this, that, and the other thing. And some of the stuff that you do for a green building would qualify for funding. Other stuff you're going to have to pay for yourself. So they're going to make about 100 awards. There's $400 million in total funding, and they have four rounds. The first round's done, but there's one about every quarter.
Okay.
So you're still in the game on that. The last one, comprehensive, $80,000 per unit, up to $20 million. And they tripped the light fantastic on this one. They actually make you use a HUD-qualified, let's call it a company, that comes in and does a very comprehensive view of the property. I mean, they do studies, and I mean, this thing's everything in the kitchen sink. You can have EV charging stations, backup batteries, solar on the roof. That one's a lot more involved, but most of the funding. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm watching the clock and I know Tom has to get going. So I wanted to say adios to Tom. I don't want him to be late for his next meeting. I appreciate that you took some time to come on. Please send me that information. I'll make sure we put the links in the show notes below.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I wanted to hang around for a minute and just say thanks for having us. And we'll talk
to you
soon.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. See you later. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
So most of the funding, $1.47 billion, is in this last area. And again, they're having multiple rounds. They sort of trade off by month with these programs. So 1 month it's this one, next month it's that one, but there's multiple rounds left. So I can really get deep into the woods on this. I would just suggest if anybody wants to pursue this, just have them call us. My number is 623-332-0506. They have a very nice website, as government websites go, on grants that you can look at as well. But just to wrap up who we are and how we can help, again, we're one of the premier grant firms. We have 52 grant writers. We do housing grants all day long. We have quite a track record. We have a 90.2% win percentage, which is almost unheard of in the industry.
Wow.
So if you want us to help you, we'll be happy to do it. We do a scope of work for everything we do. It's an hourly rate. It's $210 an hour, $225 next year. And, you know, we can do all or part of the grant or just review it and help you with it. And we can always give free advice too. I'm happy to talk with people, but that's that HUD program. And if I had a unit like that, I'd be pretty tempted to explore it.
Yeah. I mean, especially it's no secret that a lot of the lower income and disadvantaged areas have terrible air quality usually. I mean, there's so many different factors that contribute to it. I will say too, one thing that I think is important when we're talking about using funding for cleaner air, using these types of programs that are available, you know, I think it's important to look at the technology, the air cleaning technology that is also recommended by these government agencies. For example, the EPA, the CDC, you know, even the World Health Organization, they've all put out this, you know, data, they've put out reviews, and they've looked at the different types of technology, and they found that not all air cleaners are created equal. And so what we have sometimes is this situation where people want to use funding. Maybe they want to get air purifiers for a classroom, or even like we're talking about a multifamily home. It's kind of like looking at what the agencies are saying, you know, the technology that's being used. The Austin Air technology is a combination of HEPA and activated carbon, which the EPA has said is the most effective technology. We've had a lot of experience, and we've talked to a lot of people who have used ineffective technologies, used funding for ineffective technologies. And we're trying to bring awareness to this issue because, you know, even their school districts, they'll get these purifiers that, you know, from a company that came on the scene in the pandemic, they've don't have a long history. And then all of a sudden, maybe it's an ozone generator, you know, and we see this a lot where students actually have worse symptoms when it comes to asthma, if there's an ozone generator in the classroom. So I would encourage people, you know, when you're thinking about using funding, also think about, you know, what kind of technology that you want to use to make the air cleaner.
Yeah, EPA even recognizes that, because like in the third category, the comprehensive one, they actually make you buy off their list. So I think EPA sees that, and that's a very good point. And my girlfriend being a doctor, we went through COVID. She deals with 100% disabled veterans patients every day, the sickest of the sick. You know, without going into detail, I got to hear at the dinner table her wax eloquently on how these masks were different from each other and how important they were. She masks up like nobody else. And I know that your air filter meets just some unbelievably high quality standards. I had to actually, go ahead.
We're able to filter down, you know, to 0.1 microns. And we get a lot of the gases, the VOCs, formaldehyde, things that are very well documented to be triggers for, you know, people with asthma, COPD, and these types of things. So that is important. Is there anything else that you think that people should know when it comes to the Green and Resilient Retrofit Program or the Cleaner Air Pollution at Schools Program that we didn't talk about?
I would just look into it. And, you know, with the school, one thing about schools is you got hundreds of kids, right? You're going to have a kid with asthma. You're going to have somebody, you know, and so you have to do something about it. You know, you get class action lawsuits. It's a liability, and you know all that stuff. But I would just look into it and make sure your school's getting tested by something and someone, even if it's just a basic test. And I imagine all schools have issues, you know. Unless you get these filters in there, that's really the beginning of everything. I don't care how good your HVAC system is. It's all about your filters. You got to get those in. And if they're not good and you don't change them, you didn't accomplish anything except heat up or cool the building down.
I think that's a good point you make too. You know, our filters are designed to last 5 years. And so when you're talking about using funding to get air purifiers in the classroom, you know, a lot of people then have to think, okay, do I have the staff? Do I have, you know, the ability to make sure I'm getting filters changed out when they need to be changed out. Some of these other ones, you have to change them every 3 months or 6 months, maybe every 12 months. So the fact that we're able to say that ours are designed to last 5 years, I think is huge when it comes to facilities directors and how timely that can be and how costly, you know, you got to hire the staff to do it. So
yeah, and I've talked to them. They're always thinly funded. These building people are just going nuts, running around. And yeah, you tell them you got a 5-year filter that you made their day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we've talked to a lot of happy ones. So you did mention where people can find you. Do you want to mention your website to see if they want to get more information on Grant Management Associates?
Sure, we just upgraded. I did most of it. And the address is, it's Grant Management Associates. The address is kind of abbreviated. It's Grant Management, and then we shortcut associates to the letters ASSOC.com. Our grant wins are on there. We got over 400 clients that are listed. And we also have about 27 accolades on there. And so it's a good quick view of our firm.
Awesome. But, yeah, thank you. And hopefully we'll be able to talk again sometime. I appreciate your time coming on to talk about this, because this is one of the things I think people look at Inflation Reduction Act, and it's kind of confusing sometimes because it's like there's so much in it. The name maybe doesn't give it justice, you know?
Absolutely. It's one of the largest bills in congressional history. I started working on the Hill in 1979, and yeah, it's a massive bill, but this part of it is good. Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, even for a guy who went to law school like me, it's a hard thing to grasp.
Well, I didn't go to law school, and I was looking at the thing going, I got to get Brad on the show.
So happy to help. And anybody call me anytime, talk to you for free, no obligation, anything you want. And I do this all day long, so I'd be happy to help any of your people.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate your time.
You bet, Stacey. Take care. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.